You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner and Lee Phelps with you for a midweek feast of football, European action from the Champions League and the Europa League on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. First of all, a good morning, a welcome to Mr. Lee Phelps, who joins me here in the William Hill studio. Morning, Lee.
Good morning. Looking forward to the Champions League.
What about the Premier League this weekend, first of all? I know we don't generally talk about the Premier League on this podcast. Some incredible results. Recording this Monday morning, so Everton have got a good chance of enhancing their prospects of at least a fourth place finish.
Yeah, it all started with that Stoke result, didn't it, where they just completely outplayed Man City. I mean, I know Man City have been good this season, but I'm finding it so difficult to call them. They're so off the pace at times, aren't they? We keep saying week in, week out, they're always liable to throw in a really poor first half display. I know Stoke were fantastic and taking nothing away from them, but they don't seem to be able to string a 90-minute performance together, Man City, in the Premier League at the minute, which is a major disappointment for them. Chelsea as well. I mean, we kind of said, didn't we, like, you know, that great stat that you said about they haven't lost to a newly promoted team in 43 home games. They didn't quite, you know, they weren't overly impressive against Norwich the week before, and then Bournemouth shocked them 1-0. God, I mean, specials on William Hill's website now about Mourinho. Will he still be manager at the end of the season? Yes, 4-11. No, 2-1. I think, obviously, the Champions League is everything in that market, because you know, if they struggle in the Championship, in the Champions League, then they might be in the Championship next season.
They could, and that 2-1. You know what? That 2-1 could cash by the end of Wednesday's play. We'll see. Let's get stuck into this week then, Mr. Phelps. We'll start with Wolfsburg versus Manchester United.
Doing Wolfsburg.
Wolfsburg, right? I'm going with this week. It'll be Wolfsburg next week. Wolfsburg 13-10 to win this game. Tuesday 7:45. The draw 11-5. Man United are 11-5. Bas Dost to score and Wolfsburg to win 4-1. Anthony Martial to score and Manchester United to win 6-1. Those are the two enhanced offers here with William Hill. Enhanced odds offers. Bas Dost, what a name.
Great name.
What a fantastic name. Standings in Group B mean that Manchester United, given that PSV are 4-5 to beat CSKA Moscow in their last group game, if Man United want to progress, the likelihood is they will have to win this match on Tuesday night. They did beat them in the reverse fixture 2-1. They have won the last three meetings between the two teams as well. But if anyone watched their performance against West Ham on Saturday afternoon, a lackluster describes it perfectly. And it's been that way throughout the course of the season so far. They've had 5 nil-nils in their last 10 matches, Manchester United. And given that when Ferguson was in charge, in his last 100 games, there wasn't one goalless draw. The style of the play has changed. They're not anywhere near as incisive as they once were. And it's starting to become increasingly worrying, Manchester United's performances.
For Man United fans, it is, yeah. I mean, nothing's really changed, has it? I mean, look, you can look at this two ways, DK. And I saw a lot of Man United fans tweeting on, you know, at the weekend saying, you know, this is desperate, this, that and the other, another nil-nil. But, you know, the defence is still very, very good. And let's not forget that, you know, if they can start scoring goals, they've got the defence sorted. Now, obviously, they're not scoring enough goals because there doesn't seem to be enough forward play. I don't think they were as bad as everyone's making out at the weekend. And they had chances. If they can add a goal scorer into the mix and someone who can stretch other teams, then I think we will see a very, very good team.
But he's been there 18 months now, Lee, and there seems to be no discernible
Ferguson
improvement.
Was there for years before he turned it around.
That's a fair point. But 18 months and he doesn't know his strongest lineup or his best formation.
I think he probably does know his strongest lineup, but it's just that he hasn't got an out-and-out prolific goal scorer anymore. Rooney isn't that anymore. Martial's too young, started out really well. If he could add, I mean, I think in the press conference afterwards, he kind of contradicts himself a little bit because he was talking about the lack of goals. And someone said to him in the press conference, I think he was kind of saying, our style of play is attacking. It's just that we're not scoring the goals. We're not getting the breaks. And someone said, well, if you had a Messi or a Suarez in your team, would you be different team then? And he kind of admitted, yes, we would be, obviously. Because that sort of player drags the opposition defence, doesn't it? And makes them change their mind. People know now, if they're going to play Man United, they don't have to be too worried about an attacking threat. They're not being, there's no marauding wingers anymore crossing balls into the box. Mm. But what do we say about the Champions League? One of the key things in the Champions League is a good defence. Now, Wolfsburg, not doing amazingly well in the Bundesliga. They lost 2-1 to Borussia Dortmund at the weekend, which is no great shame. Borussia Dortmund, of course, are in really good form at the minute. And it was only like a last minute they got a penalty to equalise and a stoppage time goal from Kagawa, which beat Wolfsburg in the end. So they're doing all right, you know, nothing too much to worry about. And they've been scoring some goals as well. Scored 6 against Werder Bremen in the last home game before that Borussia Dortmund defeat. They're obviously a good team, Wolfsburg. And they need to win this as well. Let's not forget. I mean, they're 1-2 to win this group. 7-4 Man United, PSV are 11-1, which might be value, by the way. Wolfsburg 1-6 to qualify. PSV 2-5 to qualify. Man United are 5-6. You were mentioning that the what needs to happen here. Well, what if you look at the standings at the minute? PSV are on 7. Now, if they beat CSK Moscow, and as you said, that's the odds suggest that's fairly likely. CSKA have only got 4 points, 1 win, 1 draw, 3 losses. So let's say PSV win that game, yep, which we think they will. That moves them on to 10 points. Wolfsburg can't afford to lose, obviously, because they will be knocked out from going top. If Man United beat them, they'd go on to 11, and Wolfsburg would be on 9. Obviously, a draw, unless PSV win really healthily, would make them top the group.
It's well worth noting that if they are all tied on points, it goes down to head-to-head record, yeah, and not goal difference,
exactly,
record,
yeah,
because in years gone by, it has been goal difference. It's head-to-head first. If you look on the Champions League website, if you're unsure of how these groups are worked out, it's Article 17, and it's called Equality of Points.
I like it.
It's the highest number of points obtained in the group matches played among the teams in question, then superior goal difference from the group matches played among the teams in question, then it's highest number of goals scored in those group matches, and only then does it go to higher number of goals scored away from home in the group matches played amongst the teams. So it's all down to head-to-head records, really.
Yeah, so if Wolfsburg draw with Man United and PSV win, as we think they will, that means that PSV will be on 10 and Wolfsburg will be on 10. Man United are out, and the top of the group is decided then via that head-to-head. So Wolfsburg beat PSV 2-0 in Germany, and the reverse game was 2-0 to PSV. It's really interesting how that's decided. So that's level on points and on goal difference as well, because they both scored 2-0. So that's really interesting. But, I mean, what do you do about, you know, this table? I mean, if you're Man U, you can't afford to draw the game.
You've got to just they've got to actually go and try and win this football
absolutely
match.
Absolutely. Definitely have to go and win it. There's no two ways about it. And that's what Van Gaal was saying, wasn't he? He was saying at the weekend, we have to go and score goals here. Now, the pressure's on. Wolfsburg know that Man United have to come and win. So Wolfsburg will surely just sit and hit them on the break because they're happy with the draw.
Yes.
And either the two results are good for them. A loss could still be good enough if PSV only draw against CSK, of course. So, you know, depending on what happens in this game. But what you just said there is entirely correct. And from a betting point of view, I think Man United have to go for this. Now, if they score, I think Wolfsburg will come at them as well. I don't think this will be one where Man United score and then shut up shop. I don't think they'll be able to do that against a quality opposition at home. So, you know, we've been talking about this bet all the way through the Champions League. Over 2.5 goals in the match. Odds against. Mm. In a game where both teams have to score goals.
I just don't know. With Manchester United having played this style of football throughout the course of the season where they haven't attacked teams and they've been interested only in keeping possession, it takes a leap of faith to suggest that they can suddenly switch their philosophy or change their mentality and go and win this match.
But it's only the last couple of games in the Champions League where that's changed. I mean, the CSK Moscow game at home, they won 1-0, so that was under 2.5. It was under 2.5 in the reverse fixture in Russia as well. But before that, it was over 2.5 every game they played in the Champions League. This is a different level of opposition, I think. And I know Wolfsburg aren't a world beaters, but like I say, it's the nature of the game. There's no way Man United can sit in and get lulled into some sort of like, you know, midfield, you know, attritional midfield battle where they're just passing it around. They have to go for it. And I think they're that used to doing what you've just described. I think they'll be opened up. I think the fact that they have to go out and try and get goals. So just for me, I'm plain old over 2.5 just because that's what has to happen really here in this game.
Yes. A couple of interesting stats as well before we move on to the next game here. Wolfsburg at home in the Champions League this season. They beat PSV and CSKA to nil. However, Wolfsburg did lose this reverse fixture. They've lost their last 7 meetings with English sides in Europe. That's Manchester United, Fulham and Everton. So some hope, if you're a Manchester United fan, for them to get those 3 points on Tuesday night.
The other thing is, in terms of clean sheets away from home, this season, they went to Club Brugge and won 4-0, went to PSV, lost 2-1, went to CSKA Moscow and 1-1. So they're not keeping clean sheets in the Champions League. And the table suggests Wolfsburg are the best team in the in this group. Well, they've already conceded 3 to CSKA and PSV, so... another reason why over 2.5. I was just going to have a very, very quick check on the both teams to score price as well. But for some reason, I can't find it, which is ridiculous. I'll find it in a second.
4-5 it is.
Yeah, the over 2.5 is nicer. But you can always, you know, obviously, I don't think it'll be 3-0 to Wolfsburg or Man United. So both teams to score and over 2.5, 13-10.
Okay. That's Wolfsburg versus Manchester United. On to Manchester City versus Borussia Mönchengladbach. This, again, Tuesday, 7:45. Manchester City 7-10 to win this game. The draw in the market at 11-4. Borussia Mönchengladbach are 4-1. And Hans Dodds, Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win is 3-1. Rafael Catano to score and Borussia Mönchengladbach to win is in the betting at 8-1. This looks like a meaningless match as far as qualification is concerned, Lee. But given that Stoke beat Manchester City 2-0 at the weekend, Manuel Pellegrini will be keen to appease the home support. And there is still a chance they can finish top of the group as well. If that's going to happen, Sevilla will need to beat Juventus. But that's only a 6-4 shot, so not beyond the realms of possibility. Borussia Mönchengladbach failed to score in either away game this season in the Champions League, lost 3-0 against Sevilla and drew 0-0 with Juventus. A couple of really key stats that I'll get into later on in the preview in this match, Lee, but Man City 7-10 odds on to win at home against Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Yeah, I think they probably will do it. You've got to wonder about Borussia Mönchengladbach's motivation here. You know, that Europa League place is up for grabs, isn't it, of course? But I always wonder who wants it, you know. It's a difficult one. But what else have Borussia got to play for, really? I mean, you know, they're doing well in the Bundesliga. They're third behind the big boys, Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. Joint on points with Hertha. One ahead of Wolfsburg, a couple ahead of Schalke as well. They've got a game at the weekend against Bayer Leverkusen. So, you know, it's not like it's a huge game. Sevilla need to beat Juventus at home to leapfrog Borussia Mönchengladbach. So, you know, it'd be nice if we knew what the motivation was for the Germans. As it is, we don't. We can only guess. And, you know, the motivation for the Europa League isn't particularly strong anywhere. One thing about this Borussia Mönchengladbach team is that they are scoring some goals. And, of course, they've come off the back of, a sensational result at the weekend, beating Bayern Munich 3-1. There were 3 up before Ribery scored a consolation goal. I mean, just brilliant. But I mean, the goals they've been scoring, I mean, they scored 4 at home against Sevilla, remember? So they've been going along very nicely as well. I was hoping that the enhanced offer wouldn't be the one that you mentioned. I was hoping that it would be Johnson to score and a Borussia Mönchengladbach win.
Do you think Borussia Mönchengladbach can win this game?
No, but I was wondering what the price would be.
Oh, right, okay.
I like that. You know, so I looked down at the list here to see what price Fabian Johnson was. And he's 16-5, scored in 3 successive games now, including the third of the 3 against Bayern Munich. Scored in the scored 2 in the 3-3 draw at Hoffenheim the week before, and scored in the previous round of the of the Champions League against Sevilla. So he's a man who is definitely in form, scored in the 1-1 draw at home against Juve as well. So you know, he's really hit the ground running in this season in the competition. So I like him.
17-2, by the way, for Fabian Johnson to score and Borussia Mönchengladbach to win.
Yeah, it's not big enough, is it? I mean, I'm more than happy to take the 16-5 because I think this could be a high scorer. You know, whatever Borussia Mönchengladbach are wanting out of the Europa League, I think they'll go here and they'll have a right old go. And I think Man City will be a little bit more relaxed than we normally see them anyway. So I'm expecting goals in the game. We know there's goals in Mönchengladbach's matches. Mm. To be fair, you know, Man City didn't get on the score sheet against Juve. They beat Sevilla 3-1. They beat Sevilla 2-1 at home. Went to Mönchengladbach and won 2-1 there. It's 2-1 Juventus. So the over 2.5s landing consistently. So I think goals, Fabian Johnson, anytime. 16-5 is a big price for an informed player. A
couple of interesting points and stats that have come from Opta on this match. That game against Borussia Mönchengladbach, when they won 2-1 away, they had 25 shots on goal in that game, which is the most in Man City's Champions League history.
Nice.
None of Manchester City's 33 Champions League games have ended goalless.
Yep.
They've only kept 4 clean sheets in 33 games as well.
Bayern Munich, Barcelona and Borussia Dortmund. Twice, maybe.
Is it?
Yeah. One of those three teams has done it twice.
Yeah.
So B's. The only team that keeps clean sheets at B's, Borussia.
Borussia Mönchengladbach. They've not had a clean sheet at the Etihad since December 2011 in the Champions League, Manchester City. For a club of their stature, that is incredible, really. Man City to win and both teams to score in this game, 15-8.
Nice.
It's not bad, is it?
I like it.
I quite like that.
It.
And yeah. I think this could be 4-1 or 5-1 City.
Really? Wow.
I reckon they put one on Borussia Mönchengladbach on Tuesday night. 4-1 City is 18-1. 5-1 City, 50-1.
Wow.
Those qualifiers mentions.
That's a big shout, that, DK.
Those qualifiers mentions. So you think City win the game?
I think City will win the game. I'm not going to play the outrights, though, just because there's nothing on it. I don't think either team are really that bothered.
Top of the group?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to go for that. I think City are going to try and win the game more than Borussia Mönchengladbach.
I think they'll think that Sevilla can maybe pick up
7-10.
Something against Juventus.
I just wish they were a bit.
Look, it's short enough. I'd much rather play the 15-8 for them to win and both teams to score in the game, given the stats we've mentioned.
Yeah, I'd rather play the Fabian Johnson.
Okay. Let's move on to Wednesday's live matches in the Champions League involving the English clubs and Olympiacos versus Arsenal.
Wow.
Huge encounter. Olympiacos 12-5 to win the game. The draw 5-2, and Arsenal in the market at 11-10. Enhanced odds, Brown Adeyi to score, and Olympiacos to win is 7-1. Olivier Giroud to score and Arsenal to win in the betting at 3-1. The formula, pretty simple for Arsenal here. To qualify, they must beat Olympiacos by at least 2 goals. A 3-2 win would suffice because of their superior goal difference. They'd also go through with a 4-3, 5-4, etc., etc., etc. However, Arsenal have lost all 3 previous Champions League away games against Olympiacos, and all of those have taken place on match day 6 as well. So the final group games. Mm. If Arsenal do go out at this stage, Lee, of the competition, it will be unprecedented. Their usual modus operandi is to wait until the last 16 to get eliminated. They've never failed to reach the knockout stages of the Champions League since the inception of the new format. That was back in 2003-2004. They are up against it here, though, against Olympiacos, needing to either win by a goal in a big score, a high-scoring game, or win by 2 clear goals here.
Yeah. Given all that of what you just said, and if I add into the mix the fact that these are Olympiacos' home games in all competitions, scores 3-1, 2-0, remember that one, that's the anomaly, 2-1, 2-2, 4-0, 5-1, 0-3, 3-1, 3-0. That's since the start of the season. You'll notice only one of those was under 2.5 goals, and that was the game against Heracles in the Greek Super League.
Yeah.
Now, you know, so we know that Arsenal have to come out and play, have to have a go. Over 2.5 goals in this match is 4-6, which some people might go, I think that's all right.
Do you think
I
so?
I mean, Arsenal have got no choice. Yeah, I just attack.
Think maybe the feeling here is that Olympiacos will sit back incredibly deep and try and not produce anything going forward.
But if another team is coming onto you, they have got the players who can spring a surprise and go on the counter. You know, if you get the opportunity to counter, you're not going to not take it, are you? Especially with the lack of pace that we sometimes see in Arsenal's rear guard as well. I think that's exactly what they'll do. What you've just said, it's an obvious tactic, isn't it? We know Arsenal love to attack. Anyway, even if they didn't need to have seen the Champions League, how naive they can be. I think that they will hit them on the break, and that will be their key tactic. And they've got some goal scorers. I mean, I guess West Brom fans will kind of have a little smirk if they're listening to that. And you mentioned Brown Adai, because he didn't really do an awful lot for the Baggies, but he's been doing all right. In Greece. Nothing fantastic. He's got 5 in 10 in the Greek Super League. And he's not been particularly pulling up trees in the Champions League. Did score against Dynamo Zagreb earlier in the competition. Scored in the 3-1 home win against Asteras Tripolis. But there's another player who's been scoring plenty, and that's Konstantinos Fortunas. And it would be very fortunate if he scored here, I suppose, wouldn't it? But 10 in 13 in the Greek Super League. He's been going along nicely. Had a bit of a dry patch, but then he's just come back into form, scoring 3 in 2. He scored the other two goals in that win over Asteras, and he scored in the weekend against Panthrakikos in a 4-3 win away from home for Olympiacos. He's a penalty taker as well, and I think given that Arsenal have to come out, I think he'll be the one who they'll be hoping can hit them on the break. Obviously, Cechi plays. They've got Brown Adai, they've got Finn Bogason as well, who's 21-10. Alejandro Dominguez at 14-5. And then you get to Fortunas at 14-5 as well. He's just started to, hit form. And I think they'll hit him on the break. I really do. I don't know if they win this game. I think it's a mountain to climb for them. They're only 2-1 to qualify, Arsenal. I mean, they've really got to go for it here. And this is a very, very good home team, isn't it? They're routinely... Look how far ahead they are in their domestic league. Mm. I mean, they're an exceptional home team in the domestic league. They're not that bad in the Champions League either. Lost 3-0 to Bayern Munich. So what? The last home defeat in the Champions League was 4-1 to PSG in 2013. In that time, they've beaten Benfica, Anderlecht, fair enough, Man United 2-0, Atletico Madrid 3-2, Juventus 1-0, Malmo and Dynamo Zagreb.
Yeah.
Arsenal aren't any better than Man United were, or Atletico Madrid, or Juve, I don't think. So I think I think there's a big price for Olympiacos to win at home, 12-5. What I would do, though, is probably take Arsenal out of it and just back Olympiacos either. Have a look at the draw, no bet. The plus one's 7-10. Earlier in the podcast, we were talking about Man City at 7-10. I'd rather have Olympiacos with two results on my side and the draw at 7-10 than Man City to win at home against Borussia Mönchengladbach. So, yeah, I like that. 7-10 for Olympiacos and the draw, effectively. The draw, no bet, is 6-4 Olympiacos. It's not a bad bet, is it?
Well, I'm not sure. Olympiacos have got... All the stats point to Olympiacos, given that Arsenal have lost their last three... Champions League away games against Olympiacos, and the Greek side unbeaten in 6 home Champions League ties against English opposition as well. All the stats point to Olympiacos.
And they're not that good an away team in the Champions League. You look at the last 9 Champions League matches, that's dating back to 2013.
They've only kept one clean sheet in the last 12 away from home in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Maybe in the group stages.
In the group stages, yeah.
The 0-0 draw against Beşiktaş and a 2-0 win.
Yeah, it is in the group stages, yeah.
In the group and qualifying stages, in the last 9, they've won 3. At Anderlecht, at Galatasaray, at Monaco, lost at Dynamo Zagreb, at Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Napoli, drawn.
And something we've not talked about, which we maybe should have mentioned earlier on in the piece, injuries as well for Arsenal. I mean,
I just very quickly just mentioned it before as we were chatting.
Sorry, I must have missed that. I must have tuned out. I do apologise.
It's fine. I mean, they've got quality in depth, but every week they pick up more.
Yeah. These are key personnel as well.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. Look, I think a lot of people are going to be back in Olympiacos just because they can just sit in it's almost like they can just sit in there and be the voyeur that Wenger is usually and just watch Arsenal and see. Okay, come on, have a go. We'll just hit you on the break.
4-3 Arsenal, 100-1 by the way, if you like that.
Which, I mean, yeah, I mentioned the over 2.5 at 4-6, which might be a little bit short for some people. I think it's around, you know, I always say like 8-13 is about as low as I go on an over 2.5, so I'm happy to go with that.
Yeah,
over 3.5, 2-1.
If there's a early goal in this game, it could be
fireworks.
Yeah, it could be fantastic.
Absolutely.
I hope Arsenal get an early goal in the game. Then I think it could be 4-3.
It would be a great game to watch, wouldn't it?
It is 100-1 if you fancy Arsenal to win 4-3, which would be good enough for them to qualify. Chelsea versus Porto also on Wednesday night. Chelsea in the market at 21-20. The draw is 21-10. Porto 3-1. Enhanced odds. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win is 3-1. Jesus Corona to score and Porto to win in the market at 8-1. This could get ridiculously messy, this group. Both these teams have 10 points in the group and sit first and second. But the likelihood is one of these teams will be eliminated from the competition by the end of play on Wednesday night. Mm. And for Chelsea, and in particular Jose Mourinho, that would be an unmitigated disaster, really, because their loss at home against Bournemouth, which we mentioned earlier, was the latest chapter in Chelsea's nightmare, really. And it wouldn't be a major surprise if Porto went to Stamford Bridge and won, I don't think, on Wednesday night.
So? Mm.
They need to.
Interesting.
Porto, because they are in desperate danger, given Dynamo Kiev are going to at home against Maccabi Tel Aviv, a match where you would assume they will pick up 3 points.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out this group. It's an absolute nightmare.
Here we go. I've got this down here. Yeah,
I'm gonna see if you're right.
Chelsea will win Group G if they win the game. They'll qualify with just a point, although it won't guarantee them top spot. Mm-hmm. So Chelsea can qualify with a win or a draw. If Porto were to win, they'll progress as group winners. But if they draw and Dynamo Kiev win, it will come down to a three-way mini league.
Yeah.
Which Porto would lose on goal difference, going into the Europa League.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Porto's results against Kiev, and they've not been great. You know, the 2-2 draw in Kiev and the 2-0 defeat at home to at home, which is the last group game, which was shocking. I thought a lot of football hipsters shook their heads that night, because a lot of football hipsters have fancied Porto to be that team that gets to the final, the Juve of last season.
Okay,
Pete Farris thought they were great bet.
Right, okay.
You know, that sort of thing. So I think people, look, there were 50s. I'm not kind of having a go at anyone. But
these do get clipped out as well. So if Pete's on Wednesday night, he'll hear this.
Yeah, I'm happy for him to hear it. Because, you know, at 50-1, I'm not decrying
it.
But what I'm saying
not.
Is a lot of people would have thought they were a bit of a shoo-in. Home match against Dynamo Kiev, you know, then it wouldn't have mattered, would it? If they'd have won that, they'd have been on 13 points. They could
it's
have
a bad, to some bad loss, wasn't it?
Terrible loss, really, when you think about, you know, what they'd shown before that, really. Now, can they pick up from there? That's the question, isn't it? You know, we talk about Chelsea. Now, look, the great in the domestic league at the minute, beat Paco de Ferreira 2-1 at the weekend. Uno Madeira 4-0 away. Tondela 1-0 as well. So, you know, they're playing good football at home. No problems there. Second behind Sporting, 2 points adrift. You just wonder if something's kind of gone wrong in their minds in the Champions League. That's the first defeat they've had since losing to Bayern Munich in April of last year, of course. So, you know, we shouldn't overreact. And again, like all the other games that we've talked about, really, in this podcast for the Champions League, maybe barring the City one, there's so much on this. Can you afford to be tactical when you've really got to go and win the game? You've got to go out and have a right old go. You know, the game we saw between these two in Portugal was an absolute cracker, and that's when everyone kind of sat up and thought, "Wow, you know, this is a very good team." And once again, I'm just looking. I might have an over 2.5 goals treble on the games that actually mean something for the British teams this midweek, because they've just got to go for it. You know,
I think the fourfold.
Do you think? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see anywhere Man City.
You do realise by now the bet could be down.
Yeah.
Because this will be played out on a Wednesday night when the other two have been nil-nils.
It will be clipped up and played out, and that would be just typical, wouldn't it?
But if two are in, go for it.
We're laughing.
You're on to a winner.
We are laughing.
I think goals. Chelsea, what you'd expect to happen here is that Chelsea shut up shop. And if this is a Mourinho team in form, they control the game, they don't allow Porto to get into them, that's that. But if Porto have been doing their homework, they also know that Chelsea are struggling for their lives at the minute for confidence. Yeah. You know, they seem to pick up a little bit of confidence. All of a sudden, it seems to have disappeared again with that result. You know, they haven't scored. They've scored one goal in four matches now. Lost 1-0 at Stoke, beat Norwich 1-0, 0-0 Tottenham, and then the Bournemouth game. Mm. what a struggle for them. Jeez, I don't know where they... I don't know where they pick up from here.
This is such a difficult game to call.
But they're much better in the Champions League.
Yeah, they are.
And I do think that they're maybe concentrating all their attention on it. Even if that's a subconscious thing, I think they know that the Premier League's obviously gone. You know, they might not finish in the top four. So they have to do well in the Champions League. So my head tells me that Porto at 3-1 is an exceptionally good bet. But my... not my heart as much, because I'm not a Chelsea fan, but there's something in me that kind of, because I'm a big Mourinho fan, that says that they will get through this and they'll probably get a draw out of it.
Here's a couple of stats that really lend yourself to a Chelsea bet here at 21-20. Porto have been to English clubs in England 16 times previously in European competitions. They've never won in England.
Interesting.
They've drawn 2 and lost 14. Which is incredible, really. And they failed to score a single goal in 4 of their last 5 visits to these shores. Chelsea have only lost once in their last 37 Champions League matches at home.
Wow.
In the group stages, that is. And that was against Basel back in September 2013. They've won 28 and drawn 8.
I like that stat, but I don't like it as much after the 43 games unbeaten against all, never having lost to an.
It's true. The longer these runs go on, the more likely they are to be broken. But that Porto one's interesting, I think. Drawn 2, lost 14 of their trips away to English competitors.
Yeah, you wonder if there's a bit of
in Europe, yeah.
Some sort of like, I don't know what it is, you know. Some mental thing that they can't get over. But yeah, it's a tricky game. Look, I'd go for the draw, if anything, in this game.
Yeah.
But my bet, which I haven't come on to yet, is the man in Champions League for Chelsea. The one shining light for me all season, Willian. 14-5 to score any time here. 4-5 in the Champions League.
I just wonder whether he's had his purple patch.
No, I don't think so. Because you might have thought that before. And he scored at Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
He scored in a home game against Dynamo Kiev as well. I just think he's been playing really well. He scored in Portugal, by the way. He got the only goal there and scored in the 4-0 win against Maccabi Tel Aviv at Stamford Bridge. Now, I mean, look, in a game...
It's a big price.
Yeah, it is a big price for someone who's been in great form, takes free kicks. He's, you know, from a free kick, he's sensational. Obviously, still got confidence while everyone around him hasn't. Look, I'd rather have 14-5 Willian than 13-8 Costa at the minute.
Fair enough. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Phelps. That's the Champions League done and dusted.
I thought you were finishing then.
No, we've got to move on. We've got to do the Europa League as well.
It sounded like you were done.
I'm close to being done, actually.
Come on, let's do these.
Sion versus
Everyone
Liverpool. 6 p.m.
Sion.
In the Europa
it's
League.
Sion, surely.
Is it Sion?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm just winding you up.
Sion. It probably is Sion. Who knows? Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
It's not though that I'll be getting angry emails and letters about this
from those Swiss Sion fans,
from the hipsters.
Oh yeah,
the course. Hipsters. Sion 11-5, the draw 11-5, and Liverpool 13-10. Enhanced odds: Carlitos to score and Sion to win. It must be Sion 7-1.
That's why I said it.
Divock Origi to score and Liverpool to win 4-1.
Do you remember when you did the pronunciation guide? That was good. Remember that feature?
I remember that feature. I think it lasted. And you know what? The Luke de Jong, and we had CM de Jong. And
yeah.
I watched that game, Newcastle versus Liverpool at the weekend. He's dreadful. He's dreadful. Why did we ever do a pronunciation guide on CM de Jong?
I don't know.
Because he was diabolical, I thought, his performance.
But I had a Newcastle pronunciation chat on the similar thing with our friend AP McCoy the other day. There was a horse that was spelt T-J-O-N-G-E. J-O-N-G-E. So I'm going Tionga.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Tionga.
Tionga. Yeah.
And AP usually kind of, he'll say, oh, well, what's the pronunciation of that? I think that's not, you know, it's difficult to pronounce horse names, isn't it? At the best of times. And I said that, I didn't even let him ask me. I went, oh, this one's pronounced Tionga. And he went, it's not. And he'd been to the yard, asked the lads in the yard whose horse it was.
That's called doing your prep, isn't it? Just for the podcast.
And he said, they told him it was Tjonda Tjonja. I was like, it's never been that. No way.
Here he comes now, AP. We'll have a bit of fun with him.
Tjonj. It's never been Tjonj. So anyway.
It's Sion. It is Sion because Sion is the from the Matrix, isn't it? I think
AP's just texted. Definitely Sion.
Anyway, as far as this match is concerned, the draw is mutually beneficial here.
Yes.
It means Sion will qualify and Liverpool will win the group. Sion come into this on the back of 3 straight losses in all competitions. Liverpool, as we've just mentioned, beaten by Newcastle at the weekend. Disappointing performance away at Newcastle, really. That was drab, that match.
Awful.
I watched all 90 minutes and it
did
was...
Oh,
I did.
I
nearly tweeted later on just to say, if you prefer this to American football, you're a madman. Because it was just boring from minute one, really. Jorginho Wijnaldum was the shining light in that match. Played well, Newcastle, but Liverpool were really poor.
Yeah, they were. It was just drab, as you say. It was just boring. I think this game might not be the most entertaining either, to be fair. As you said, the draw is mutually beneficial. No one has to worry too much. And I think, you look at... I always like to look at the games that are coming up at the weekend, because, the Europa League is a difficult one to balance out with your domestic fixtures. Liverpool away at Watford. Shouldn't be too worried about that, I wouldn't have thought. But interesting to see that.
I would be.
Interesting to see from the Swiss side. Sion's game at the weekend is against Basel, who are top of the table. So they've got a real tough game. I mean, they're mid-table. They're not doing particularly well at all in the Swiss league. Although they're only 6 points away from, 4 points away from getting back into the Europa League next season. So I think maybe you would forgive them for thinking, look, we're through. I think they'll make it. I mean, if they lose, Ruben Kazan. Are away at Bordeaux. They could win the game, go level on 8 points, and you get into one of those leagues. Same criteria as the Champions League, by the way. It goes into a mini league again. So you'd have to look at Sion's results against Ruben Kazan. Ruben Kazan beat them 2-0 their place, and Sion beat them 2-1 at home. So Ruben Kazan would go through there on the away goals rule, effectively, and the goal difference being slightly better. So they can't lose this game with Ruben Kazan winning. I don't think Liverpool will be that bothered. I mean, look at this group. It's the Liverpool-Bordeaux game, the 2-1, and that one I just mentioned, the first group game, Sion versus Ruben Kazan,
are
the only two games over 2.5. Under 2.5 is 4-7 here. So, don't expect too much value in that.
I think this will be a draw.
Draw and under 2.5. If you're going to go for the draw, there is no point in not going for the draw and under 2.5, in my opinion. It's not going to be a 2-2. So, you've got 11-5 for the draw.
Fatal last words.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, look, draw's good enough at 11-5 for most people, I'm sure. But if you do want to add a little bit more value on it, the draw and under 2.5 goals is 13-5.
Okay. Shall I switch a light on in here? How long have we been recording this podcast?
All right,
because
I'm fine.
I'm not. It's got dark in here all of a sudden.
Metaphorically or visually?
Visually. Okay. Fenerbahce versus Celtic is also at a 6 p.m. kickoff in Group A. Fenerbahce are... here with William Hill, 4-11 to win this game. Wow, 4-11. The draw 7-2, Celtic a 9-1. Enhanced odds: Robin van Persie to score and Fenerbahce to win is 5-4. Lee Griffiths to score and Celtic to win is in the market at 16-1. Fenerbahce second in the group. They've picked up 8 points from their 5 games, whereas Celtic at rock bottom, 5 games played, just a couple of points so far, draws. In a couple of their games, they've lost 3, conceded 11 goals in the group, which is the group high as well, as you would expect. Fenerbahce second in the Turkish Super League, just a point behind Besiktas. Celtic are top of the Scottish Premiership after a 3-1 win on Sunday against Inverness away from home. They lead Aberdeen by 4 points. I think disappointed with the way this Europa League has progressed, though.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The joint worst defence in the competition. There are a few others, to be fair. There's about 5 teams who have conceded 11 goals, but they could have the the rather unwanted record at the end of this game of having the worst defence in the Europa League group stages if things go badly for them. Again, just very briefly, it doesn't really matter. Just looking at the group just to see if there's anything we can take out of that from a betting perspective. Molde, top of the group, but could be overtaken by Fenerbahce. If they were to lose and Fenerbahce beat Celtic, Molde are away at Ajax. Ajax can still get onto 9 points, which would leapfrog Fenerbahce if they weren't to beat Celtic. If they draw, they could be level with Ajax. But Ajax, obviously, that's a tough game to call, that Ajax-Molde one.
Yeah.
I think that's a difficult one. If, although they are 4-11 to win it, Ajax, that against Molde.
Yeah, I suppose Molde don't need to win, do they? I suppose they're, unless they want to finish top of this group.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they're taking that into consideration. But there are a couple of big prices there, Celtic and Molde, to get to spring some surprise away wins. I wouldn't mind the plus one double on both those, to be honest with you. I think Celtic are just obviously going to be playing for pride. You wonder how bothered they are in this game. At all. Look at their away form in Europe. It's absolutely shocking. You know, not since they beat Sion in 2011 have they won a game. And before that, it was a long time before they won a game in this competition. But lost 3-1 at Molde, 2-2 at Ajax, 1-0 at Inter last season, 4-3 at Dinamo Zagreb, and so on and so forth. I think all they can play for is pride. Would there be that much? I mean, why would they want to play for pride particularly? I'm not so sure, really.
The only reason I don't like Fenerbahce is because if they draw, they're through as well. Which,
yeah.
I mean, at 4-11, because they've got a significantly better head-to-head against Ajax, so Ajax can't leapfrog them if Fenerbahce draw.
This is where I was going with it. Look at Celtic. We've got St Johnstone on Sunday at Sunday lunchtime. St Johnstone are fourth, but you know they shouldn't really be worrying about what they do when they come back from Europe. I wouldn't have thought Celtic in the division they're in. They came back from Europe last time, won 4-1 away at Ross County. You know, it's not like, you know, without being too rude about the Scottish, you know, top flight, that they have to sweat what's going to happen at the weekend, like a lot of the British teams do. Came back from the 3-1 defeat in Molde to beat Dundee United 5-0.
Yeah.
They win, you know. So I don't think they'll be worried about that. And I think there will be a touch of pride about this. Can they get the draw? It's a big price at 7-2, isn't it? And like you say, Fenerbahce won't be too worried about the draw particularly. Other than the fact that if Ajax win, they are level on points then. But Fenerbahce beat Ajax at home. And then drew 0-0. So Fenerbahce do know that if they draw the game and Ajax win, they go through on that head-to-head. Let's go 7-2 draw.
Yeah,
Celtic, one last big hurrah.
What about Celtic plus 2 at 8-11? So not to get beat by 2 or more, basically.
Yeah, it's not bad.
To get beat by 1 goal or draw the game.
Not bad. You just wonder if they do concede 2, desire will they have to really go and pull it back? I think they'll start strong. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of overs.
I think Fenerbahce will be shoved into multiples, won't they, on Thursday night, because I don't think many people can see Celtic going there and getting anything, given they've only got 2 points in the group so far.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Wouldn't be one of mine, though, I don't think, at 4-11.
No chance. I mean, it's a tricky... It went to Ajax and drew 2-2, let's not forget. So, yeah, I'm going to go for the draw there, 7-2.
Tottenham versus Monaco, the last game on the podcast. This is 8:05 p.m. on Thursday night. Tottenham 7-5 to win the game. The draw is 21-10. And Monaco in the betting at 21-10. This is the final group game in Group J, where Tottenham are top with 10 points. Anderlecht second in this group with 7 points. Monaco only 6 points, and Carabag with just the 4 points so far. Tottenham drew 1-1 with West Brom at the weekend, Saturday afternoon, whereas Monaco in Ligue 1 went to Bastia and won 2-1. Tottenham qualified, so nothing to really play for particularly.
Yeah, top spot is the only thing they can get. They're actually the head-to-head. Tottenham beat them 2-1 at home and lost 2-1 away, didn't they? So
the one thing I'd say about, if you're thinking about backing Tottenham at 7-5 in this game, is they look tired against West Brom. I follow a number of Twitter people that support Tottenham. Tottenham tweeters. That's probably the better way of putting it. And they were saying that they looked absolutely shattered away at West Brom. And West Brom did finish that game in the ascendancy and could have got the winner.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether, thinking about, they've got a game Sunday afternoon at home against Newcastle, another big game televised,
yeah,
whether or not he might make wholesale changes he doesn't generally in the Europa League, but they're through. And I reckon he could field a really weakened side here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either, because I mean the players admitted that they were tired against Chelsea as well, didn't they? You know, Harry Kane said we've had a really tough week. That was when they'd been away to Karabag, which I think was the longest trip in the Europa League or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he admitted then that they were feeling the effects of it. And then, as you said, they've had the West Brom game. Now they go, at least they're at home, I suppose. You know, that's the one thing, and you get the break to.
Not much of a break, though, is it? Eight o'clock on a Thursday night, Sunday afternoon.
No, it's not. So you think it's tough.
You think that they're probably not going to train on Friday? Maybe come in for a little bit on Saturday. Then they've got the game on Sunday.
But still, the best. You know, that we said before the last round of games that they had the best record of any of the English clubs coming back from Europe this season. So you know they have found a way of getting it done. The situation in this group, as you said, Tottenham, you know, home and hose, really, whether they want to finish top of the group or not, they might just finish top of the group anyway, because on goal difference, because this one, as I said, 2-1 each way, so it'll come down to goal difference. Anderlecht are home to Karabag, so you expect that they'd win that. Monaco have got a lot to play for, though, haven't they? You know, Monaco will come and attack because they need to win the game. They need to give themselves every chance. What if Anderlecht only get a draw against Karabag? They have to try and win the game, Monaco. So I think it'll be quite open. You know, Monaco haven't been particularly prolific in the group, though. They got a 1-1 draw at Anderlecht. They got a 1-1 draw at Karabag. If it is a weakened team, as you say, then I think maybe they could eke out a draw.
I think they'll win this game.
What, Monaco?
Yeah, I do. I think Tottenham will put out a completely changed team, rest their main players, and Monaco win this game.
It's not a very big price, is it? The traders haven't got a clue, by the way, have they?
No, they've not.
7-5, 21-10. I think
it is kind of factored into the price, because if Tottenham were to play a full-strength side here, there'd be a shade of odds on, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
If you could assume Tottenham were... So I think it has been factored into the price, and the compilers clearly understand that Tottenham are likely to field a significantly weakened side as well, to be 7-5 to win this game.
Yeah. One thing to bear in mind as well, and it backs up your bet, is that they haven't failed to score away from home yet this season, in all competitions, that is.
Right.
So, yeah, they're going along, you know, nicely away from home. Tottenham, you know, have got goals in them, I think. You know, I think even if Monaco come at them and they've got a weakened team, it's not like they're putting out a load of numpties.
Oh, no.
So I think, yeah, they'll have a right go. I'm going for the draw. Draw on both teams to score as well. I think we'll definitely have goals in this game. I don't think it'll be a boring game, seeing as Monaco do have to have a bit of a go. Second highest away scorers in Ligue 1 behind PSG with 17 goals so far. Mm. So it's a pretty good...
They've conceded a few as well, haven't they?
I'm not kidding. Yeah, conceded 14, I think, haven't they? Yeah. Both to score, draw.
That's 3-1 here with William Hill for both teams to score and the game to end in a draw. Tottenham 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Monaco 21-10.
Been chatting away, haven't we?
We've been chatting away. We'll leave you now, listeners. If you made it to this,
you made it this far,
very well done. Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Pleasure.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, you can download this via iTunes. Just type in William Hill. You can check us out on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill as well. And myself, Mr. Phelps, and Mr. Derek McGovern are on the podcast on Thursday or Friday this
Thursday.
Week. Yeah, Thursday. Oh, good. We'll have that out on Thursday for you. As well. So thank you for listening to the podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.